meeting.
Very good. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay, very good. So do we have approval of the agenda now? Good. Very good. Is there a second? Okay, do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have
first. Carol, second.
Okay. Okay, so moving on to the meeting minutes of July the 9th. This is informational. Do we have to take action on it?
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Make the motion.
I took
it. Yvette is first and Carol is second. I was not present, so I will abstain. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Do we have to do roll call because she's on the phone?
I'm sorry?
Do we have to do roll call because she's on the phone?
No, it's okay. We can put you down here, Luciano, if you like.
Okay, and Luciano has joined us now, Carol.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on to old business. I'm sorry, do we have any public comments? No comments? Okay, we have no public. Okay, and then moving on to old business. We have one item left on old business, and that is grant proposals under development. This is informational. Of course, who will provide us with that information?
Oh, again, it is informational. If anybody has any questions, we've got letters of interest that are listed, applications, and project reports and final reports.
Thank you, Donna. Any questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none and no other additional information from staff, we will move on to new business grant proposals. And this is number A, is consideration to approve grant. I was reading at something before. Consideration to approve grant 1017 Jewish Family Services, $90,000 to support case management services for homeless prevention. This is an action item. Donna?
And this is asking for case management. I've seen Jewish Family Services of the Desert has seen an increase of 45% from the previous year of serving seniors and low-income individuals that are either on the verge of becoming homeless. Mostly on the verge of becoming homeless. This is a diversion at its best, and Maureen and Craig are here from Jewish Family Service of the Desert. If anybody has any questions for them, but asking the program committee to please pick a recommendation.
I would like to do to ask them to do a quick synopsis of it.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Just sit here, stand, pace. Is there a
we can see you.
Okay. So, quick background is we have been serving seniors in emergency for probably 37 years, but what we saw happening was rent and utility, and more rent. So our seniors sometimes average between $900 and $1,100 a month, and their rent can be as much as $700. So if something breaks, if their car breaks, if there's a medical payment that they can't afford, they're really strapped. So what we noticed is that this just kept going up and up and up. And we formed a senior collaborative where we worked with all the other agencies, and they were bringing their cases. So in answer to your question, how do we find out about them? We have a network of, it used to be only senior agencies, now it's all agencies, where we get referrals for people who are at risk for being homeless, because keeping anyone in their home is far more cost-effective than dealing with them after they're out. So we have been dealing with people in their cars, with their dogs, couch surfing seniors, and then last year when the government shutdown came up, we had the opportunity to expand it to families. So now we have we started in January helping families, and that's how we got from 759 people to 1,100 people in a year. So part of what our philosophy is to put together any coalition or collaboration of agencies. If we don't have the money, particularly, we will be Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, Well in the Desert. We work together to make sure that the rent is paid. So part of what has changed is that our case management has always frankly been our loss leader because nobody really finds case management very well. So we're usually able to fill that gap a little bit with our fundraising, but this year we really had to just keep hiring. We can't give emergency assistance without a case manager. We have to confirm the utility bill, we have to talk to the landlord, we have to pay the landlord or the utility directly. But so that all takes people, and we just realized we can't actually, we've got 1.5 going right now, and we've that we have on staff, we need a whole another one, and to pay for the ones we got. So, but it's really critical. It's really, really critical because I really deeply believe that diversion is the piece of homelessness that is the most effective and sometimes gets the least attention. So, that's our philosophy about that. Any questions or anything about?
Do we have any questions from any of our committee members?
Okay. Yes. If you know someone who might need these services, where do you send them?
Okay, great question. So we certainly have it on our website. We certainly have it at all the senior centers. Know about it. We also have started to put it out on, well, we're working with CDHIP to make sure that that's always updated. And then we also have all the senior agencies and homeless, like Well in the Desert, DAP, have a list of who to refer. All the hospitals have our name. So in terms of letting people know, we let this, you know, jump in. We let
get out. How did she get out?
We can hear you.
Yeah, I have a little girl kitty in here, looks just like that.
Carol. Carol.
Who needs to put your phone on mute?
Carol.
Oh my gosh. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Who let the cat out?
The other thing is we send out flyers with all of the homebound seniors who do, you know, like receive meals.
Okay.
We send out flyers on that, and there's a Palm Springs publication that goes by neighborhood called, I think, One Palm Springs, or we're in that now, so we just advertise wherever we can.
Okay.
And if I may, a couple other things. Word of mouth, also, once we start helping people, if they encounter a neighbor, a friend, a family member, and they start asking, well, who helped you, then the word of mouth spreads. And increases our referrals as well. And lastly, we are actually on the steering committee for the Coachella Valley Resource Collaborative. This is the largest collaborative here in the desert. So agencies serving all populations, not just seniors, are part of the CVRC. And so we, as all the other members, are able to bring in our information and promote our services to that body as well. So, and I like to say, because we encounter people who have not heard of us, and that's probably a good thing. That means you've not needed our services. So, for those people who have not heard about us, oftentimes they have not needed our services, but when they do need our services, ours is the name that comes up quickly.
And I have to say, too, that we've had two separate incidences where we've had homeless individuals that have either called the district and or emailed, and we're giving those names and contact information to Maureen and her team, and they're on it like that. We're able to resolve on the situations.
Any other questions from committee members and staff? I have a question. How do you assess the effectiveness of your program?
So part of what we do is we do a sample. We can't usually get all of them, but we do a sample that two things. We do a four-question satisfaction survey at the end of every interaction that says, my financial emergency has been resolved, my life is more stable, I would recommend JFS to other people, things like that, four questions. And then what we also do is we do a quarterly call to as big a sample as we can get on our ones that we collaborate with. So what we call collaboration is if we gave some of the money, Salvation Army gave some of the money, and that's a collaboration. And last year, we had 239 collaborations, and we had about a 25% response rate when we call to see if you're stable or not stable. And so 94% of them, we only were able to, in the last two quarters, I think, survey 57 people. But 94% of them were stable and 5% aren't. And when they aren't, we jump right back in and say, why aren't you? And see, because that has to do with budgeting. A lot of times we'll go over the emergency, but they actually need to know how to budget. They know how to not spend it on, you know, like we send them to the food banks, we get them discounted dental insurance, anything that's going to preserve that little monthly check.
Very good. Thank you.
Do we have participation from Southern California Edison and IID?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly new to the committee, and I guess I'm reading this as there are folks in need situationally, and then seasonally, and then chronically. Is that kind of mm-hmm. how the mm-hmm. pie gets cut? And there are ways to try to curb this for the chronically. I mean, if someone's living on a really tight fixed income, I mean, sometimes there's not a lot of wiggle room.
Right, and with the utilities, what we try to do is get them on level payment plan, which they are very resistant to because they have very low bills around Christmas, and that's when they buy their Christmas bills. So, but we try and get them on level payment plan. With the really chronic, it's usually because they're in an apartment that's too expensive, and so we get them on a list for a lower income. You know, they kind of grab something, but it isn't really what they can afford, and so. The chronic tend to end up, I mean, and we do have a few, honestly, who turns out they're gambling, and then we have to get them into counseling for gambling. That is quite an issue down here, so it comes from all, it comes from all sides.
Very good. Any other questions from our committee members? Carol, do you have any questions?
No, I'm good. Those are all great questions, fellow committee members. Thank you.
Okay, so the request is for $90,000. Is there any motion from the committee members?
I move
approval. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Luciano, second. Okay, so we have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Okay, any abstentions?
Okay. Can we have to do a roll call on that one, or is that just for the board?
That's just for the board.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, thank you.
So you're a yes, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So it passed unanimously. Okay, then we have the next new item. Business is number 2, consideration to recommend release of the community health needs assessment, RFP. It's an art request for proposal not to exceed $300,000. And this is an action item, and I would like some input from staff, because I am wondering why now and what this is about.
So, in 2017, we had a strategic plan that laid out a number of priorities for the district that has guided the investments that the district has been making in our communities, some of which are very well known, including issues that affect homelessness in the district. And one that was highlighted by that work was expanding the size of the district to address the healthcare needs of Warner Coachella Valley. We have been successful with most of those initiatives, and now the strategic plan will expire on June 30th of 2020, and the new and expanded district is dramatically changing the demographics and also the healthcare needs of our communities. Therefore, it is important that we have a baseline understanding of what are the healthcare needs of the expanded district, and have a document that it's a living document to guide the strategic investments of the district moving forward. And when we started thinking about what we were going to bring to the board, we thought of a living document that can be express in the form of a dashboard that will be made public to everyone who can come and look at what are the health statistics, what are the key indicators that we have in the district, and measure any investment and all the outcomes that we expect to have over the next X number of years, utilizing that baseline as a point of beginning with the new district. We have included a number of considerations for these requests for proposals. Number one, we want to make this a transparent and open process to identify which organization is the best position to make this type of work. And we have been a little prescriptive with a number of things that we want this process to include. Number one, we want this process to incorporate the 9-step guide from the Association of Community Health Improvements, Community Health Assessment Toolkit, so that there is for sure an engagement of the communities to inform this process. And the community will be the one on the driver's seat that will identify what the priorities are for them. And the other thing is we want this work to incorporate the social determinants of health lens into our work so that we are promoting equity in the investments that the district will be making. The final point that I want to make is that by having this type of work, we are envisioning a long-term goal of creating a vision for the district of a healthy Coachella 2030, 2040, 2050 that will become a framework for investments toward the future. And by creating this a living document, it means that we will have not only the long-term vision, but we'll also have the flexibility of understanding and adapting to any changes that can happen unexpectedly in the near future.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, are there any questions from the committee members?
I have a question. How would the proposal to sell the hospital affect the needs of the study as far as funding or any other aspects, or would it?
We don't know at this point. I think that what's important and what we want to accomplish with this work is understanding, number one, what is the health status of our population? Number two, what are going to be the priorities that the community is expressing we need to address? There will be some work which is related to the strategic planning on what are the resources that will be needed and who will be the players that will participate in the rollout of that work. And what we can see toward the future is working collaboratively, because we know that the needs are many and the resources that we have are limited. So that's what we can say at this point. We don't have any information about whether the hospital will be sold or approved by the voters to be sold, or there will be an extended lease.
Yes.
Was a not to exceed $300,000 figure one that was arrived by looking at historical costs for community-based needs assessments?
Correct. Yes.
Was there anything that would be involving our FQHCs or the Schools of Public Health in Southern California, since that's where most of my experience at FQHCs, and I did this at Yale for a while, but knowing that, you know, there's some pretty defined protocols for how to roll this out, both operationally, fiscally.
Absolutely, and we're planning on a very extensive outreach, especially targeting public health schools in Southern California.
Any other questions from our panel?
I have one question. And what you just said right now in terms of incorporating the expansion of the district, I assume that's going further down east?
Yes.
Valley, okay. What's the history with putting out RFPs to groups down further east in any kind of RFP?
So this RFP is open to to the public. So
I understand that.
We're not requiring the organization that will do this type of work to be a resident of the district, either on one end or the other. What we do expect is that the organization that will do this work will engage with the residents of the entire district, from Palm Springs to North Shore.
I think to follow that question, will we be making a determinant on awarding this to use of local community-based resources to do the legwork? Because my experience is there's an absolute ton of legwork, and if this can be done,
absolutely,
by the closer people are to the sources of information, the better. Less travel and expense, and you know.
Yes, absolutely. And we have identified at least 7 organizations in Coachella Valley that are already working with communities that we believe are going to be critical in ensuring that there is extensive outreach and community participation.
Any other questions from our committee members? Okay, yes.
Yeah, I would like to know why what you just said is not included in this documentation. There's no, what I see here is conduct research, this is under the scope of work, conduct research using an approach that ensures accurate, up-to-date, and ethical methods and materials, which is the only thing that I've skimmed so far that was related to the specifics that they're going to be looking at.
So when one read what are the 9 steps of the Association for Community Health Improvement Community Health Assessment Toolkits, that the step number 2 incorporates very specifically a number of organizations in the community that need to be a component of this type of work. So we know that we will not accept any proposal that does not include working with local organizations that are embedded in our communities.
Any other questions from?
Yeah, well, let me build on that a little bit.
Okay.
It's one thing if you're going to incorporate that, which it says there, I think it should be included in this document. Could be an appendix.
So it could be perfectly. We can add an appendix to that. If you look at the timeline, the first activity that comes after this RFP is released is going to be a bidders conference. And we're planning to have a presentation that will outline in greater detail what we are looking for. Typically, creating a document of this nature takes about 90 days, and we have been rushing because I have been on my job for the last 5 weeks, and it's a time crunch what we have between now and June 30th, which is when we want to have that assessment completed.
Okay. Carol, do you have any questions?
I do, thank you. I see that a part of the scope of work includes to develop a plan to make strong conclusions based on data collected and district residents' input. In the past, we've done a needs assessment where we've done telephone surveys. Are there any other, are we going to do that, and are there any other tools that we are thinking of or looking at?
So what we're thinking, Carol, is 3 different layers of data collection. Number 1 is quantitatively. We want to have secondary data to be collected. Number 2, we want this organization to do community surveys. And finally, I think the 3rd level will be to have community meetings where they can have either community input, where they can do focus groups, where they can do personal interviews. There will be different layers of fact-finding that will create the most accurate understanding for the district of what are the healthcare needs of our population.
Thank you.
Carol, do you have any follow-up questions?
Yes, and so that's incorporated in the proposal package?
That will be something that we expect the organizations to propose, and that will give us a clear indication of how competent the organizations that are applying in response to this request for proposals are.
Okay. Great. That answered my question. Thank you.
Okay.
I've just got kind of a general question. Will we be aligning the work activity and the deliverables with the U.S. National Census conducted next year, since there's a lot of valuable aligned information?
The challenge with that, we understand the value of that. The challenge with that is that we don't have a control over the timing of the census. And ultimately, mm-hmm. I believe that the census is going to change the basic data that we have regarding demographics in the district. But I believe it's not going to change the current healthcare needs. So we understand that value, but if we extend the timeline to make it coincide, it's going to be very difficult. And in addition to that, once the census is completed, it will take the federal government at least 24 months to analyze that data and then make it available to the public. So we're talking about 3 years from now, we'll have that type of information.
But it will give us some sense, maybe post-survey, to align and validate some of what is happening.
Absolutely. Okay. And that's why one of the key words that I use for this type of work is that we are creating a living document. Mm-hmm. It's not something that it will become rigid. It's something that has to be flexible enough for the district to understand and adapt to different needs that can happen from one time to the next.
Okay, do we have any other questions? Yvette, did you have any questions?
I just have a comment. I mean, I did the community needs assessment in Dream Homes, and they use the community health workers. I hope they're going to focus on that, because there's a lot in the Coachella Valley that work with patients already. So
yes. It's gonna be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where do I start? My question is, why now? I understand that you have just started 5 weeks, okay, and I think this is actually premature. I think that we need some time to talk about what is the direction that we want to go in. You mentioned collective impact, alignment, not duplicating efforts. I think that there's some discussion that needs to be taken before you actually have this needs assessment, because as you really get into this, in order to gain collective impact, to gain alignment, to not duplicate services, you have to have some buy-in from other partners. The county, I know RAP has been trying to do exactly what you're doing, and I want the healthcare district to take the lead. That's my goal has been that you actually start getting into this. But some of the work that's already taking place, for example, Lift to Rise, they're working on social determinants of health. Two of the main areas that they're working on, housing as a social economic opportunity. These are things that I see that have a play in this. And I had a conversation with the previous CEO 5 years ago of Desert Healthcare District at that time, hoping that the healthcare district would do exactly what you're trying to do now. But we had a start and a go with the healthcare district not being involved. And so there was work that started, and I think that we need you to revisit some of that work. Some of the other partners that have continued to go in, for example, Lift to Rise, they invested in 200,000, I'm not sure how much it was. Donna, if you have information, feel free to throw it in there. But the data portal with USC, that the healthcare district was all on board, and then at some whatever reason they didn't commit to it. That's information that's out there already. So how does that play into this? So I'm just a little bit concerned about not having You know, yesterday you and I were at this conference, and what they talk about is that you need to have buy-in, you have to have alignment, and I don't think that I wanted to be the healthcare district going at it alone, and we shouldn't be inviting people halfway through or at the end. It should be at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So these are things that I think about is, why now? Can we kind of take a pause moment and look at how we can make it more inclusive so that we have only one needs assessment taking yeah. place? We don't have others that are left out. The work that that Jewish Family Services is doing, I want them to be involved, but how do they play a significant role? So the community health workers. So before you craft something, I would like to have those kind of conversations before actually putting it out there.
So when I go back to the RFP, when we ask the organization that is going to propose how they will conduct this work, incorporating those nine steps, step number one is ensuring that you have everyone in line to be. It's not something that we will do at the district. I think we can facilitate some of those conversations because we have knowledge about which organizations are doing different work, but it's ultimately a labor of many months to start this process of collecting data. And in the meantime, secondary data is already available if you go to the Department of Healthcare Services, to OSHPAD, to the Census, and to many other repositories of data where they can collect and analyze secondary data.
We just invested on a report by Evalcor, and I am really excited to see how that comes about. So how does that play into this? And I think that there's just a little bit more discussion mm-hmm. that needs to be taking place before we delve into this. It makes me think about that homeless report that before I came on board was commissioned by the healthcare district, and then halfway through everybody started throwing stones at it. Criticism about how was it done, who was there. So I would rather try, I know you're never going to make everybody happy, but I would like to get as many people on mm-hmm. board before we actually put the RFP so that we have a little bit more of input on what do we really want besides a health assessment. I would like to have buy-in from some other partners in this and for the healthcare district to be the lead, but the Green Ribbon Committee by the county, if you don't have the county on board on this, we're not going to get very far. You said before that we have limited resources. Oh yes, definitely, that's the case. So how do we have them be part of this? So I think that we, you know, I'm not saying don't do this. I think we definitely have to do this, but I would like to put a pause on it. I don't know how much of an urgency there is. Is there an urgency for us to
I believe our urgency is that come June 30th of 2020, we no longer have a strategic direction.
Right.
Because in fact, today, the strategic plan that we have doesn't address any of the healthcare needs of half of the population we're serving. And we need to have an understanding of their needs. In fact, one of the work that we did that has been one of the drivers for us understanding the need for this work has been six community meetings that the district has had with the expanded district, with their population, and showcasing our strategic plan. And the results of that work has been the community doesn't see that the strategic plan that the district has reflects
right.
their realities or their needs or is addressing any of the things that they would like to see are addressing.
I understand the importance of having a health assessment to help the strategic plan be implemented, but if you don't have a good health assessment, you're going to have a weak strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, again, that if we put a pause on this, that we have a little bit more discussion, maybe we bring it back next month. But I really would like to share with you a little bit of information. I only talked to you yesterday. I don't know how much in exchange there's been with the board members individually, but I feel the need to share with you a little bit more of my experience, having lived here all my life in the Coachella mm-hmm. Valley and worked for the last 15 years in some of these issues. So I think if anybody else would also like to have that opportunity to share one-on-one with you and your leadership team, would be good for us to share that now rather than later when we are then being critical of the work. So that's my two cents. Any other committee members?
So Letty, I had a question. So do you propose that we have another special meeting with the program committee or a special meeting with the board to discuss it further, the approach further?
I would like to have, yes. I think it will be good to, if we don't take advantage of that one-on-one, then maybe as a group, we have a multitude of talent here of how do we go about crafting this. I know you have talent, but hey, you have some committee members here that want to make, you know, the work easier, and I would love to hear from our board member, our committee members, a little bit more about it. So maybe instead of just having a meeting next week, that we have a workshop, so we can then help, to really break it down and provide some input for this RFP.
That sounds good to me.
Beyond that, what I don't see is how you get this report and you have a strategic plan that's that is expiring or anyway. So what happens then?
What happened?
So you get a report. Mm-hmm. You have a strategic plan.
So when we have this report, there will be the need for a new strategic plan. And the strategic plan will, a strategic plan by concept has to look at what is the work that we are doing outside and what are the resources that we have internally to support that work outside. So without having an understanding of what are the needs outside of our walls, it is difficult for us to understand what are the resources that we will need to address that work or to support that work.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so you're
go ahead.
You're conducting a $300,000 study. Mm-hmm. That's only the beginning, right?
Yes.
So what are the plans to integrate
this
such a report with a strategic plan? Are you asking, take it one step further, are you asking the successful applicant for this study to help pinpoint areas of the strategic plan that need to be updated,
well,
or what's the connection?
What this study will do is identify what are the priorities for the district. This is what the community is telling the district. These are our priorities. And based on that, I believe that we will craft our strategic plan, looking at how can we address these priorities. Do we have the resources to address all the needs that the community is telling us? Who else can participate? How can we create a vision for a healthy Coachella Valley that will incorporate existing resources, not only district resources? We're talking about organizations that are doing this work already. And how do we, from a policy perspective, from a programmatic perspective, from an investment perspective, can support and leverage all those different efforts that are existing throughout the district? So, and I think that unless we know what are the demographics, what are the health indicators, and what are the priorities that the community is expressing they want the district to work on, it is for us impossible to create any strategic direction for the district.
This is Carol. My comment is that you know, if you look at our previous strategic plan where the district identified, what was it, Donna, 5 priorities, and our idea was to tie our grant funding to those priorities. In the previous district where I served, we had RFPs out in the community that would align with those healthcare need priorities. So that, for instance, we had an RFP for mental health services, and we had an RFP for increasing food or decreasing food insecurity, things like that. And so that's what I see the marriage between a strategic plan and district activities.
Mm-hmm. My comment was sort of like Carol was going to make, but it seems like that I see the needs for a community needs assessment. But one question I would have is, why go external, and are there resources within staff that can provide some of that, or does it have to be an external source? And then secondly, as it integrates into the strategic plan and the vision of the district, it would seem that the financial aspects of that would be critical. So it's like, if you have limited funding available to the eastern part of the valley, so you identify all these needs that are there, but if you have no funding for it, how do you address them? So it would seem like to me that the two questions or concerns that I would have is, number one, I would wonder what would be the next RFP that would be proposed, because that seems to be, it would seem illogical to think that you're going to have an RFP, you know, have an outside firm do each part of the process. And then secondly, it would be important that, as Carol said, that the vision and the strategic plan probably would not be completely out of date. It would just be simply updating and more determining how it may have changed, but not necessarily throwing it out and saying, well, now it's no longer relevant, but rather saying, well, these are the aspects that need revision.
So I'm not saying that the existing strategic plan is not relevant. The community has said that the existing strategic plan doesn't address their needs. It doesn't identify their needs. And I think that that is important for the district to know that the framework in which we are operating doesn't address the needs of our expanded district. To your point, I think that having the data to support our strategic direction is going to be critical. And I think the design of a new strategic plan can come as we progress in this work, because it will be very easily identifiable what is the strategic direction of the district once the community begins to express what their priorities are. I'm sure that 3-4 meetings and we're going to start finding what is the pattern in our community. And I'm not looking at any geographic areas. I think that the community as a whole is going to have new needs and new priorities. And by applying the different types of lenses and the different type of activities that I wish we had outlined the 9 steps, because the 9 steps are very clear in what we're looking for and how they're going to engage community organizations and how they're going to engage the public in identifying those needs and how they're going to assess secondary data to understand what are the key metrics that need to be followed in this type of work. It's going to be important. And to address the other point that you made about having the district doing this work internally, I believe that we don't have the resources to do this type of work. Therefore, we're looking for an organization that has an expertise in doing this type of work. There are tons of organizations out there that have been doing this work for all their lives, and they will do a much better work than if we do it.
I hear all the rationale, and I think it's, on one hand, a righteous effort, but I wonder And here's what I wonder about. Will the methodology of bringing in an outside expertise do anything for the coherence and collaborative efforts that need to be done sponsored by this or by the health district? In other words, it seems rather academic. Mm-hmm. Very academic, so it's going to be another report, you know, that lands on a desk, and so what? Could you hear me now, please?
Yes.
What we know about social interaction and what we know about collaborative efforts of a whole bunch of different organizations getting together in a single place. In corporate America, I used to refer to this as getting all the liars together in the same room. Mm-hmm. But it's more than that. And I've seen when you have different agencies sitting in a collaborative conference, I don't mean sitting on our rear ends and taking notes, but collaboratively working, that would make a lot more sense, a lot better use of the $300,000. And getting feedback on the strategic plan, how it's meeting the needs in live terms, where you could ask people to move around the room as a, you know, as a survey. So you get, you know, 20 people in one corner agreeing to a statement and five in another. You learn a lot. And I guess what I'm getting at is it's not only what we learn, but how we can develop a more cohesive collaboration. And so therefore, you know, I think this is the wrong approach.
Is there a question down there? And then your opinion.
I disagree. One, this needs to be done by an outside firm, simply to give the healthcare district some remove from the data that comes in, that it's not something that's being cooked within, that's the wrong word, excuse me, strike that one. It's being blended or something, you know, within the hermetically sealed district. You need an outside firm to gather data for you to give that distance. I also think there is some urgency to do this, even at the price of not being 100% totally bought in by everyone. Strategic plans are not just for sitting back and reading and making a strategic plan. They show your community that you care, that you started listening to them, that you started gathering data, that all we have half of the district now that they're not in anything. And it's important soon, I would think, for the district to engage them, to ask questions so they can see, oh yeah, okay, they're here and they're going to help us. And to postpone for perfection of inclusion. Not that I'm against inclusion or we shouldn't try our best, but I think the district needs to be showing the new part of it, that you're alive and interested and you're asking questions and you're moving ahead and you're hearing, you're not in this plan. So in addition to creating a strategic plan, asking those questions could really help strengthen the relationship, I think, with the district and the new people that are part of it. And that has to happen relatively soon, or otherwise you guys are just a problem, you know? What have you done for me? I'm not even in this plan. And that whole, I'm not in this plan, needs to be fixed fast.
Okay. Yvette?
I feel that from previous experience, I don't know if you guys have read the report that was done in the Dream Homes Initiative, but we collaborated with other people, mm-hmm. like the city of Cathedral City. They offered free trash bins to everybody to clean up. We brought a lot of resources into the community. And this was a collaboration that was done between the city of Cathedral City, Desert Healthcare District, ICP at Loma Linda, and El Sol. And together we helped bring the community what they were asking for. They were asking for help with trash, with how do they get rid of cars, resources. Now they have Find Goes in there. once a month and gives out free groceries. We have the city putting more attention in the community, and that's what the community wants. So there has been benefits from this type of assessment, community assessment, that I think it would also benefit us to do it, because right now there's new board members that just came on the board. We weren't here when the last strategic plan was set in place. And we've all stated that we want to be part of the new strategic plan. So we need to start moving on it, because before we know it, we're not going to be helping anybody. Right now, we don't know what they need in the east side, you know, and how are we supposed to help them if we don't do a community needs assessment?
I would just, I'm sitting between two points of view, and I feel modestly compromised, but also I think in your comments as well, we're coming up that there are a tremendous amount of questions, resources, and answers right here, that my fear is having a vendor learn what I've learned in the last 15 minutes could cost 1 month of that work, which is $50,000. It's 50 grand a month, which is not a small amount. And I think the level of engagement by this committee needs to be a significant part of this, because somebody's going to be you know, really relishing the results, or somebody's going to be really pissed off come July 1st. And my fear is when you put it in the hands of someone else, we are very isolated in the Coachella Valley from a lot of resources. It may cost, somebody might see the number, 300,000, and say, okay, this is a ticket to ride, and somebody's going to spend a lot of money that doesn't go into, for instance, documenting what happened with the trash receptacles. I mean, that's where we've got to build this too, is what's happened in the past. So it's not simply the starting point that feeds subsequent strategic plans, but it's a culmination of what we've done together in gathering that initiative and inertia across the expanded you know, region or district is really important. And I think that requires the views of a lot of people at this table rather than simply educating another party to come in. And I'm concerned. I'm not expressing an answer, but I'm expressing, I think, what we've all said is that maybe this needs a little more brain work at the table.
Well, absolutely. I agree with your points. And to that, when I want all of us to be aware of what is the timeline between this conversation and when a contract is signed and that work will begin. So we're talking about this work, realistically, will not begin until the beginning of next year. So between an RFP is released, we have received proposals, and so we have about 3 months of time in our hands to put together a strategic planning subcommittee, committee, however we want to structure, so that we continue to provide input into this process. And when this organization that is going to do the academic work that they're expected to do comes to realize this work, that there is sufficient input to guide that work and to receive the information in a timely fashion. So that's all I can say in terms of the timing. If we delay it, I think it will come July 1st, we will not have a plan, and we will not have the level of engagement that I believe we need to have with the entire district, with the one Coachella Valley.
One of I think something to consider is, I like to look at successes, and I think one future Coachella Valley is a great success. You have true alignment, because there's different, from one area of the district to the other. Everyone is working on the same goal. Everybody understands their role. Okay, so, and they have an understanding of what their baseline is, where, and how they're making progress. That's what I would like us to be able to be in that position. When you talked about earlier about being transparent, making sure we all understand what our goals are, about resources, the fact that we don't have unlimited resources, the fact that we need to align with partners. These are things that I see very similar to the work that they're doing. And I just think that there's already some work that's taking place. Let's make sure we have the onboard, the ones that want to participate in looking for solutions on better access to healthcare, looking for how do we have increased access. You know, I just think that there's a need to not throw everything out. There's some work that's already taking place. Let's bring in, like for last year, I think for the last 2 years, the county has been working on suicide prevention, on resiliency. Where are we at on that? Can we have an idea of how do we bring them on board? How do we, you know, the RAP Foundation has been trying to figure out how do we play into supportive role to the healthcare district. We want to fund solutions. We don't want to just be Band-Aids. So how do we utilize the RAP Foundation's money to advance the work that the healthcare district is doing? So
I don't know if you know, but Loma Linda right now is doing a thing in the East Valley where they do the Coachella Valley Connect. They come every quarter. They have a health fair either at the Torres Martinez Indian Missions or whatever, and at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Last month, I went out to help them. They helped out about almost 200 people, and this is with vision, with dental, and it was only vision and dental. The other times they want to bring out like the medical. We need to start moving on this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to just, I mean, there's a lot of needs in the East Valley that I see just from my patients that I see out there in Mecca, Thermal, you know, that mostly they're all asking about housing. And yes, there is a housing can and there is all these things that are in place and stuff, but what is being done? Mm-hmm. These people are still losing their home or being abused by their tenants or having to go ask people for help like Jewish Family Services. I mean, we got to do something about it now. Not in 2 years, not in 3 years, not. We have to move on this because if the hospital does sell, what are we going to?
I want to move quickly also, but I want to move smartly. I don't want to duplicate efforts. I don't want to not have complete buy-in. And full disclosure, I'm on the Lift to Rise board. Okay, so that I want to make sure that you understand the reason why I'm on the Lift to Rise board is because I believe that there are some serious issues that are underlining poverty, and so I believe that in order for us to address them, we have to address, you know, some of those underlining issues. I know that they the LTR staff came in last month, 2 months ago, and maybe 3 months ago. I stepped out of room, and I don't want to get in trouble here for speaking out of turn, but I do want to mention that that the reason why I think there was interest from the healthcare district to support the work is because it is, you are interested in the social determinants of health, and how does the district support the work that they're doing with housing and economic opportunity. I believe that's why Yvette, Carol, and I went up to San Jose?
Fresno.
Why we went there. We're trying to figure out what is our role in that work. How do we support them? So how do we support them? Do we do something on our own? Do we figure out how they play into it? What have they already done? I just want to have those conversations before we start a $300,000 spend. That's a lot of money. And
so I think that knowledge doesn't supplant the work that is being done. And unless we have the knowledge and we allow the community to express their voices and to tell the district these are our health priorities, we're doing our work blindsided. That's my.
To me, it seemed like we were looking more for a solution now. Like, not now, like in the next 2 months or the next 3 months. We were looking for a solution. Well, I was looking for a solution to the homeless thing within a good time, right? But it seemed like they were working on Fresno first, and then they were going to do the thing here. So we need to, I just didn't feel comfortable with that. I wanted something here in the valley, you know, that's already going to be in place. We're going to roll it out. We're going to do tiny homes or whatever we're going to do to solve that situation.
Well, yeah, they, what they're looking at is a 20-year plan to really change the makeup of housing. But so yeah, that's not going to happen in the next year. We're 10,000 units behind schedule here. Yeah.
And then 20 years we might have already hundreds and thousands of homeless people.
I really appreciate the conversation that we've had. I know where I stand. I'm not about you know, not compromising. I've listened to all of you, and all of you have some really good points. But I do think that we can we won't get hurt if we wait 30 days. I understand what you're saying about the fact that we could work through this as the RFP is out. But how can we ask somebody to tell us what they're able to do for us when we don't even know what we want to do for ourselves yet? I think it's something that I presented to the board a few months ago about what is the decision-making process that we want to use, and I introduced the idea of results-based accountability, that we should be able to say where do we want to be, so that way we can make better decisions based on data, and being able to measure that as we are advancing towards that data. This is the mindset that LTR is using, and that RAP is using, and I believe is also very closely associated with what One Future is using. So it's, I'm not saying that it's the one for the district, but if you come up with a better one, let's do it. But I want to be able to be on the same team. I don't want it to be several teams going all in different directions. We don't have enough money to be doing that, to be wasteful. I want us to have other partners, not only locally, but also outside of our area. If we're able to come up with a plan that gets the attention of a Kresge, of a California Wellness, because we're addressing some issues that really make sense, that it's not insulated. I think we recognize that there's a benefit to be in alignment with other funders. So I'll put it up for the questions. Anybody have one more?
I have one more.
Okay, yes.
So here's another concern. There is a 3-year strategic plan, right? A lot of money and effort went into doing that. Is there any scorecard that is established on that strategic plan? Do we have any, in terms of the grants that we've given, et cetera, et cetera, do we have any idea what kind of success and what the empty areas are with the strategic plan before we attempt to throw it out? And I think it would also be something that if you're going to do a study, you know, if I was coming in to do this study, and believe me, I'm not qualified, I would want to know your self-assessment or our self-assessment based on the document that we've been allegedly following for 3 years. And I think we could, there are a lot of ways of getting feedback besides bringing an academic group to come in and do that. So I would like to entertain doing something, some statistical analysis of the strategic plan that we have in place now.
At the previous meeting, didn't you bring before us the strategic plan, what programs that we are investing in, how they relate to the strategic plan and the dollar amounts? So we see the strategic plan, we know how all of these proposals tie to that strategic plan. Each of those plans have a report that says we've met our goal, we haven't met our goal, here's what we would do differently. So I think we already have that structure, and it's really quite lovely. I mean, it's a good thing to look at, and it's very clear. So we've seen that information, and it's available.
I must have missed that meeting.
Well, it sounds like that's a place to build from, and I think we've shared a lot of good ideas here. The $300,000 is a lot of money. But we've also got an analog organization called Kaiser, And the Kaiser Foundation has done a lot in evaluating nationally the social determinants of health, where they tend to stack up. So a lot of the academic work has been done. When I was at Yale School of Public Health, we did it for a very, very large community of about 300,000 people, and we were a primary immigrant community. So we had a lot of different things that came in. But we got most of our real positive input by looking at what have we done recently in the past and how do we carry that forward. And my sense is $300,000, we want to make it really value-laden. And I think we need to have this community, this community at this table, we need to put some work and effort into it and not wait. I don't even think we should wait 30 days. I think we should be talking this through and refining this approach, because we've got momentum, we've got interest, we've got a timeline. But I think we need to also, I'm also questioning whether we put a dollar figure out there. Because if I tell my kids, you're going to get $20 to mow the lawn, it's going to be a $20 job. Mm-hmm. If I tell them it's going to be a job, it's going to be paid based on the quality of the work, I'm not going to spend $20 or else I'm going to have a really good job. Mm-hmm. And I'm just concerned, and I've been running businesses for 40 years, and when I put the price tag out there, everybody meets or exceeds it, and they don't always do it in terms of quality. So I'm
more like an RFQ, where you tell me what you can do for us, and we'll tell you what we like and what we don't like. But I really like your idea.
And maybe we want project management rather than project work done, and have them call us to our toes to the fire and say, we need some work done here.
And your idea of Kaiser, that's another funder who has an interest in the very issues that we're dealing with. FQHCs, they have a lot of money. Then we have First Five Riverside. If we're going to do this, wouldn't it be a good idea to include them in the conversation so they also would be able to say, we like that, and we're willing to invest in some of that as well.
And on that point, let's have IEHP throw in $100,000.
Yes.
It could happen.
Yeah, IEHP has a lot of money, too.
I had a thought that I know that it was brought up that perhaps we could form a steering committee for the RFP so that we could incorporate all these suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
To approve?
I was going to propose that we
do this. Okay. Repeat that one more time, Carol. Carol?
A steering committee.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I had a suggestion that we form a steering committee that has already been proposed to incorporate all these ideas into the steering committee to look at the health assessment. And that I like the idea of not putting a dollar amount on it, but just doing an RFP.
I believe we have a strategic planning committee. So will that be supplanting the work of the strategic planning committee?
I don't think so.
Then should we have the strategic planning committee to be the committee?
If you want to, but I want to be part of the conversation too, and you already have your board members for that. Maybe I can just go talk to you through this, but to share a little bit more of my input and let them do their work then.
Mm-hmm.
I trust my fellow board members. Yes, I'm sorry.
If you're trying to get input, I would love to hear from those organizations that receive our grants what their perspective, both on the success ultimately of the current strategic plan and what kind of research effort they think would be more realistic and more helpful to their efforts and our efforts. So why can't we involve our stakeholders that we give grants to?
Okay, for this part of it, or for when we actually do the needs assessment?
No, for this part of it.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, it's a thought.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion on the floor. Is there a second to Carol's motion to create a Well, actually, we have
a strategic planning committee.
Yeah. So is there a motion to let the strategic plan that's already in place to share these thoughts with them so that they are able to come up with something that will be... Is there a motion for that?
Does it need a motion?
Yes.
Go to the strategic planning committee?
Just a direction.
I think it's a direction.
Do you want a direction?
I think
so you don't want to do a motion?
To approve.
Okay. I like motions. That way you kind of point to them.
I make the motion to approve the strategic planning committee to do...
To share these comments that we've shared today with them.
Second.
So that they're able to... to incorporate some of the concerns and address some of these issues. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a second.
Before we vote, question?
Yes.
Logic. So, has the strategic planning committee been at all involved in this RFP process?
No, they have not.
Okay. My question stands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to put the question to the board. Do we have all those in favor to say yes?
Yes.
Okay, all those are not in favor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No nays, any abstentions? Okay, it passes. That's the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there... The next is any committee member comments. Does anybody have any comments or have been commented out? Any other comments on other issues? Okay, then I'll have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, second? For the foundation. We will call the meeting to order at 1:17. And again, I'm being asked to chair on behalf of our chair, Carol, who will be participating by phone. And we have a approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda? No changes? Okay. Okay, we have a motion to approve by Yvette. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. We have any public comments? No comments? Okay, no public. Then moving on to number four, new business, consideration to approve grant 1025, Ready, Set, Swim, the grant to the Healthcare Foundation for $200,000, and the explanation was in our material that they already have $65,000, I believe?
Leftover
from
the mayor's
fund, mm-hmm. mayor's race. And so they need an additional $200,000 to support this collaborative effort between the Desert Recreation and
Boys and Girls Club.
Yes, I can't get my thing up, so I don't know why it's not working. So that's why I'm trying to remember from memory. Okay, so is there a motion to approve?
So I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I second.
Is there any discussion? Questions, comments? Very good program. Okay, is there, Carol, is there any questions or comments?
No.
Okay,
no,
so.
No, thank you.
We, all those in favor?
Aye.
Is there any nays? Any abstentions?
Aye.
Okay, no abstentions. It passes unanimously. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's it for. So we have any other comments? If not, then we will adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn? I will make the motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, we have an adjournment. Thank you.
For you.
Thank you,
Carol.
Okay, Carol, we'll see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, Carol.
On the 24th.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm flying in for the hospital board meeting.
Oh, that's right.
On Thursday.
Oh, yeah, for the hospital.
A week from.
Okay. All right, well, we'll
see you
then.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, have a
Thank
great
you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Levy, for chairing the meeting.
Thank you, Carol. Very good. Thank you. I'm going to call them and ask them if they have, I could do a little write-up on them. Okay.
I thought it was kind of cool. We just found out that
they did that.
I was hoping for constructive feedback. We were looking at three people that worked on this.
Wow, that sounds good.